B-Pod Studios.
There's never a shortage of stories.
This thing was earned.
Talking Tats.
You earned the trip.
Sucks.
He's got a history of ripping apart farm systems.
The Celtics are bending over backwards.
I'm tired of the top line.
This is your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
I think we've already saw that in Cleveland, you know, where he didn't have to be the main guy. If you create a system where Kyrie doesn't have to be the leading scorer, he can be that 1B guy. You know, that's a system that we saw him be very successful in. Now all the pressure's on him, all the defense, all the scout report is just all about Kyrie. You know, and it's tough for a small guard to lead a team to a championship. So if you can put him in the system to where maybe you have that other player who can be that
one
scorer, I think he's a 1B
on
a championship team because he's already shown that.
All
so
right.
Maybe if one of these other Celtics can emerge as a 1A, a la Jason Tatum.
So Kyrie's not good enough to be the best player on a championship team is basically what you're saying.
But my belief always, Chauncey, you know this. I don't believe you're a point guard unless you're an all-time point guard, a la Magic.
Isaiah. You're looking at me saying this.
Steph Curry.
You're looking at me saying this.
Rare case.
2004.
Rare case. You and Tony Parker. Outside of that, Magic, Isaiah, Steph Curry, all-time guards. I don't think need to be your best, can be your best player to win a championship.
Is Chauncey Billups insinuating that he was the best player on that?
That's exactly what he was doing.
It did sound
and
like that
is wildly incorrect.
That is wildly incorrect. And also,
he's a good player on that team. He was had a great season.
And I like that Tony Parker was responsible for
Jesus.
I heard that name slipped in there, too. Like, it was starting to make a good point. Like, oh, yeah, Steph Curry, Magic Johnson, dude, little Tony Parker. Like, it's kind of a all-timer that he was playing with at that point.
If you're like a top 20 player of all time.
Listen, the greatest player on that team was not Tony Parker. It was a gentleman who had a tattoo of a wizard on his chest that was rarely seen.
Yes.
He played with David Robinson as well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right. It's a tiny bit of a crossover.
But he had both of them on the team at the same time.
He did.
If I remember right.
So, what's going on with the Celtics right now is just, it's awful. But as I said, we knew what we were getting, and every time that they crap themselves from here to the rest of the regular season, I'm like, well, this is exactly what Kyrie said is going to happen. We're just trusting you to deliver on your promise that once the postseason comes around, you're going to become that monster that you tell us that you're going to be. However, Gary Washburn has an idea that is so utterly ridiculous. It's not ridiculous now. It was ridiculous a couple weeks ago. And now it's so out there that I might be in on this, despite me saying on this show 1,000 times that I never wanted anything to do with this person. He writes an article, first talks about how bad it's been as of late and how uninspired the team's been playing. And he goes, well, the Celtics need to take a chance here, and that could be someone such as Carmelo Anthony.
No, boy.
No. Who is sitting at home in New York waiting for a call.
No.
And he knows you're going to say that because the next sentence is, before the oh, hell no, not him, is your first reaction. The Celtics wouldn't be signing the 2013 Carmelo or the one who will demand 30 minutes and play no defense. They need a boost off the bench. Gordon Hayward scored 6 points Sunday in his average.
That's
6.3
points per game. He'd play he'd play 15 or 20 minutes a game, take 10 shots, and play no defense.
He says, since the All-Star break, it's been 6.3 points per game for Hayward. So either Stevens maintains loyalty to his former Butler pupil and allows him to get untracked or uses his minutes for a more productive player. Sunday was Hayward's 58th game of the season, so how long do you wait for him to become a reliable component off the bench? 70 games? 80? Or do you realize that this just may not be Hayward's season? Bring in another capable scorer who can also get to the free throw line and use Hayward in certain situations. The answer is the latter. Hayward is not to blame entirely for the Celtics' struggles, but there's no question the club expected more in his comeback season. That's not to say he won't be back to form next season, but if Hayward is still playing with a tentativeness and a lack of confidence at this point, it may be time for a break. If there isn't enough minutes for a player such as Anthony, then he becomes a mentor and another veteran who can help his younger teammates. This is where we are, by the way.
What could go wrong?
Mentor to who?
This is where we are.
Irving and Carmelo Anthony on the same
team.
Oh, my
Lord.
But it's so bat crap insane, I love
it. He's a mentor? Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Yep. He's the guy you want to follow. You want to be like him.
Kyrie Irving and him would never butt heads. they would get along beautifully.
This is the definition of peeing on the anthill, and I love it.
Good for Gary for getting clicks.
Getting clicks. I think it would be, like, unbelievable. If you had him show up, like, how much of an awesome, like, chaotic mess would
this be? Oh, it'd be great for us, but for the team, it would suck. It'd be horrible.
I don't even think it would be bad at first.
Yes, it would.
I think it would freak everyone out.
He walked in the door. Okay. It'd be bad.
Let's let it finish. He goes, you think Gasol is really going to play big minutes for the Bucks? Remember, they just signed Paul Gasol. The fact is, elite teams don't waste roster spots. You load your roster with as much talent as possible and then allow the players to prove themselves, disregarding bruised egos. You save egos for the summer when players such as Marcus Morris or Terry Rozier can procure contracts for other teams for what they believe will be greener pastures. Morris has been putrid for a few weeks, and he didn't play in the final 18-plus minutes Sunday when the Celtics made their rally. Stevens, as expected, said the Morris omission had nothing to do with his performance, of course. But it was Morris's first scoreless game in nearly 5 years, and he's been abysmal from the field since the All-Stars break, shooting 21% from the three-point line. Replace Morris with Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup. Brown has adjusted to his bench role, has put more effort into his defense, and I agree with him here. And he goes, along with mainstays Irving and Al Horford, he's playing with confidence. He goes, allow Morris to come off the bench with reduced pressure to soak up some of Hayward's minutes. The Celtics can't afford to have two starters, Smart and Morris, who are offensive liabilities. Smart has played well enough lately to keep his shot. And then he goes on and on and on and on. But then comes back and goes, perhaps Ainge and the Celtics brass have a surprise player in mind to fill that roster spot.
Perhaps.
But if they felt the buyout market was going to produce a fruitful crop of veterans, they were wrong. Carmelo was still at home, working out, and waiting for a call.
No.
Is it worth it for this? He ends with, is it worth it for the Celtics to at least gauge if there's a potential relationship here and try something that will uplift one of the more disappointing teams in recent team history? The answer is yes.
No. The answer is no. It will not. No. I want nothing to do with Carmelo Anthony. He has been poisoned wherever he has played.
It can't get any worse.
Yes,
it can. What's that line from Crucifixion? We're in the depths of hell right now.
You roll Carmelo out there, it gets worse. Defensively.
How is it going to get any worse than what you've seen those last two games?
He never plays defense, and the ball stops with him on the offensive end.
And
it already stops enough.
Have a young team that seems to be pissed off. And then you just throw in him.
Oh, it's going to be great.
You got enough players who don't get the offense and shots that they want. You put Carmelo in there, nobody gets any shots.
As far as I'm concerned, yeah, do it.
Hell yeah.
Well, for us, it'd be goldmine.
What were they from three the other game? 5 for 28?
Yeah.
And the first half of yesterday's game, they're 1 for 13 from three.
And you know what? You put Carmelo out there, they're 1 for 26.
The only thing better than Carmelo is get J.R. Smith. Get J.R. Smith with his big booty loving head there in here. My God, that would be the best.
Oh, it'd be great for us.
Another big chemistry guy.
Yeah, Carmelo's been great. Let me go back. Did he actually use the word mentor?
Yep.
Good.
He said
Carmelo
he
will mentor the young guys. Sure. Yep.
It's funny because every time he's on Team USA, like, Carmelo's the man. And
right.
Like,
he chooses to care.
Yeah.
When he chooses to care in a situation like that, obviously he can be good.
Hypothetically.
But he has not cared in the NBA for over a decade.
Hypothetically, you know what I've said about Carmelo Anthony is that he'll never be on a championship team. He's got the Dwight Howard stink. I agree. However, do you think, because he posed the question, Gary Washburn posed it, do you think that because he has been sitting at home and because no one's calling him, that he's going to show up motivated and try to buy in and do something in the postseason?
I think it's part of his DNA, and if
not
you look back...
That could be true, and it probably is.
In fifth grade, he was probably having people salivate over him in AAU basketball. I mean, you just can't turn that...
He is what he is, and he will always be what he currently is. A guy who shoots a ton, who doesn't play defense, and is not the best player in any team. And by the way, not a leader. Not a leader.
He's not expected to be the best player. He's going to be a bench guy who plays several minutes.
Around on offense waiting for the ball, and they already have enough guys who don't play defense. Not a chance.
You know what he's going to be? He's going to be Eddie House. Whenever we need some quick points,
I would take Eddie House. I would take Eddie House over him.
Oh, did you hear that? I heard a rumor that the Ray Allen
is, by the way, 47-year-old Eddie House.
Who did I hear is looking at Ray Allen coming back?
That came out this weekend.
I know he did, but there was a team that was actually looking at that, and I just think this is the greatest. If you're gonna go down, go down in flames.
All right, I don't think that Mike quite gets what you're saying, but all right, Mike, go ahead.
Rich, I've been listening to you guys for about 10 years, and for whatever reason, you started drinking the green Kool-Aid, bro. Kyrie Irving's a black hole, and so is a Carmelo Anthony, dude. Dude, there's plays that I don't know. You got blinders on, dude. I don't know. It's very sad right now, bro.
Okay,
you're just drinking the Kool-Aid,
so
man.
Mike,
sad.
Can it get any worse than it is right now? Oh, he hung up. Because that's my whole thing is that they can't play any worse. Like, I mean, they're embarrassing. Why not just throw gas on the fire and just see what happens? Because there's a 5%. Because you need something.
No.
Just throw freaking kerosene on a thing and just, like, let it all burn. And maybe you'll get some sort of, like, result. And maybe people will freak out about their jobs and they'll be panicked and it will inspire them
it's
to play
dumb and dumber,
with something
one in a
called
million
effort.
Type of thing. That's what that is.
Oh, come on. You want something exciting to watch. Something exciting to watch.
Exciting is fine. Look, if you don't have any expectations for this team, you don't think there's a glimmer of hope that they might actually produce
something.
Losing
it by the day, John.
That's fine. If all hope
every
is lost,
game, like,
then I would root for Carmelo Anthony to come in and make the last couple of weeks enjoyable. But I want nothing. I don't want him in the same universe as my team.
Fred, we played this earlier. Who's the one guy you can't lose? Like, who's the one fan you can't lose if you're the Celtics? Like, it's impossible to lose.
The guy at the end of the game there.
He watches every game, or this year not as many as we would hope because of his health. Who's the ultimate homer?
Oh, Heinsohn.
When you lose Heinsohn, ooh.
I see no indication they even know where the switch is. this team is dysfunctional on the defensive end and pretty much on the offensive end too right now. They did get some effort out of the bench tonight, 31-9. They outscored Houston, but that's more the way Houston plays. They just leave their starters out there all the time. For me, this was a very discouraging loss here this afternoon in the sense that I didn't feel the Celtics competed.
I thought the Celtics had devised a new way of minimizing Harden, giving him layups so he wouldn't take the threes.
Yeah. There you go. So it's as bad as it gets.
I was at the game yesterday. I was very disappointed that Harden got layups.
Yeah, I mean, right.
I wanted fadeaway half-court shots.
I'm telling you, get Carmelo and let it all... Get you going to burn! Just let it burn, baby!
All right. Do we have Giardi coming up?
Yeah. Mike Giardi.
All right. Mike Giardi going to join us. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Like a home game here. We love you guys.
The support here tonight was like a home game. We could have been at Gillette Stadium.
But we're still here.
We can't thank you guys enough.
We are all Patriots. And once again, the Patriots are world champions.
This is the home of the six-time Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And you know what I heard? Is I heard that they wanted to expand the combine and make every event available on primetime.
I wish it wasn't always in Indianapolis. Like that, I don't know why they don't move it around.
Centrally located, right?
It would be, I'll tell you this, going to the combine would be fun for 2 seconds.
maybe. But I have to be honest, there's part of me that when I watch it on TV, and I don't watch it regularly, it's kind of funny. I'd be more excited to actually be there than watch it on TV, which is a rarity.
See, I disagree. I'd much rather watch it on TV where I could duck out, you know?
But I want to see Rich Eisen.
I know, but after the first 3 or 4 40-yard dashes, you're like, all right, I've seen it. That's enough.
Yeah, you want to see Eisen. He does it in his suit. It's funny every time. Mike Giardi from the NFL Network was down there in Indianapolis. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Giardi.
I want to know who negotiated Wallach's contract. 2-car garage, people plowing out his driveway at 3:30 in the morning.
I'm telling you.
I didn't realize he was essential personnel like that.
I have rarely seen Rich this pissed at me.
Why do you think I was pissed? I was just because I didn't say anything on the air. I wasn't.
No,
angry
no, I
on
didn't
air.
Say you were taking me out. I didn't say that you were being a dick.
No.
I just said that I've never seen you this pissed at me.
No, it was just 7:30 was later than I thought it was going to be.
What did I show you on the ride sharing app?
That you had called an Uber at 4:55.
4:45.
Okay.
Mike, I attempted to get here on time. I said to Stephanie, I'm like, do you think anyone's going to give me crap for being late? She goes, there's a huge snowstorm. I go, all right. But
One time in Felger's previous existence at a radio station that I don't think exists anymore, I was supposed to be his guest. and we got a similar storm like this. It took me an hour and a half to get 15 minutes from my driveway to the highway, and I turned around and said, the hell with this. I'm not dying for Michael Felger. And I swear to God, I think he still holds it against me. And that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, and it's funny because Felger's like, Mr. Oh, what are you crying about? It's like, dude, you don't have to get to work till 2.
Exactly.
Like, you got a lot
shows
of...
Shows what a good co-host I am, doesn't it? I'm not holding it over Fred's head. I wouldn't do that.
You guys need to hug it out.
He's going on vacation after the show tomorrow.
I can't wait. I'm already checked out.
All right. All right, so Kyler Murray is obviously the situation going on there, and he's 5'10 and 1.4 or something like that.
He's really close to Russell.
207,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
He waved
yeah.
in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Russell Wilson had to cut weight after the combine. But nonetheless... what is the talk on Kyler Murray? And, you know, you're hearing a lot about the kid from Ohio State now. Who do you think goes first?
I think Murray ends up going first. I think people are going to look at Murray's potential upside and what Mayfield did last year, and obviously sort of resurrecting Cleveland's franchise this past season, and think that this kid has a chance to be special. And I see it too. I mean, the ball comes out of his hand like nobody's business. I mean, he's just got that quick release. He's got good mechanics. It's just whether or not you can see yourself getting married to a 5'10" quarterback, because, you know, we don't have a ton of track record for those guys.
So his hands are smaller than
one thing.
And his hands are smaller than Russell Wilson. And I that is like, yeah. But everyone laughs, but that's
Ted Johnson
thing.
Said it was a huge deal and he was in there.
So oh,
the
yeah.
hands are a massive deal. More than I thought it was.
Yeah, no, it is massive. And, like, you're talking about for a team, like, in the Northeast, obviously the Patriots. Like, that's – I think when they drafted Garoppolo, his hand size was a little bit smaller than normal, but they had seen him play in cold weather games and bad weather games. Like, now he can handle it. But by and large, that's a big thing. You have to project how the kid's going to play outside in December when it's, you know, 5 degrees or it's snowing sideways. And, you know, we know Patriots always talk about you want to play your best football after Thanksgiving. Well, can the guy with the – the guy with the small hands, can he do that, especially if he's stuck in some Northeast corridor playing in cold weather games?
All right, so when you're down there at the Combine, obviously all of the GMs and coaches, everyone's around and you're talking to people. What's the word on Rob Gronkowski? Has there been any kind of hint as to what the team is going to be doing and where Rob's head is at and what kind of money's being offered, or any details on what's going to be happening? Because it should be like pretty soon we should know something, right?
Well, I mean, in theory, he told us it was going to be 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, and then Rosenhaus told us 2 weeks after the Super Bowl that it's probably going to be another couple, 3 weeks before he makes a decision on that. I talked to so many people at the Combine, and what do you know? I don't know. What do you know? That was the general consensus. Talking to teams in the division, talking to teams in the AFC. Hey, have you heard anything? I'm like, nope. I will say, to me, part of it, I think, is, you know, I reported about a week after the Super Bowl, then in the 24 to 48 hours after, and I'm not talking about, like, right after the game, but in the 24 to 48 hours after, he was telling teammates and associates, I want one more ring. And so, you know, you felt like maybe there'd be some momentum and a fairly quick decision off of that. And the fact that it's dragging on, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've gone back and forth on it a million times because, like I said, nobody is entirely sure what's going on Rob's head.
All right, you've been vocal about the changes to overtime, and you've seen. And some people think it's ridiculous that Andy Reid has, you know, introduced this, but you don't feel that way.
No, I get it. The Patriot fans sometimes have that persecution while you're changing the rules
sometimes.
Because of us. And look, you played in so many big you played in so many big games that a lot of these scenarios pop up and you just happen to be involved, and more often than not, you happen to be on the winning side. But to me, I'd want to see both teams have the ball in overtime. I think it's you play 60 minutes and then, oh, if you won the coin toss and you go down the field and score, the other team doesn't get to touch the ball, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I know people will say, oh, we'll just make a stop, just make a stop, just make a stop. Yeah, that's great. That's during regulation. Overtime, we're resetting everything. Rules are changing. I think both teams should have the football at least once, and then, you know, whatever happens after that happens.
All right, Mike, Patriots have lost a ton of coaches for a variety of reasons. I mean, there are still a lot there, but they've lost a lot since Brian Flores left. I was reading yesterday that they're thinking of moving special teams coach Joe Judge to offense. I mean, how are they fixing all of these problems?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously because of the relationships that Bill has fostered over however many years it's been in the National Football League, 40 years in the National Football League, it's not as if there's a shortage of people that he trusts and can rely upon if he needs to make new hires. You know, I think a lot of people are talking about, is this like, do they realize the end is near, or Belichick, and what's the... I just think in a lot of cases, it's just about opportunity and money. Patriots don't tend to pay their assistant coaches top dollar, and Josh McDaniels notwithstanding. So when your contract's up and someone you trust in Brian Flores gets his new gig, and you know, those guys have been working together, Josh Boyer, they've been together for years and years and years. Jerry Schaplinski the last 5 or 6 years. I totally get why you would go. Chad O'Shea would have probably been the offensive coordinator here had Josh left last year for Indianapolis. Well, Josh doesn't leave. He's still not leaving. If you're O'Shea, what do you do? I want to be an OC. Probably wants to be a head coach someday. Well, you got to take the next step, and if Flores offers you that next step, you got to take it. To me, the one that really kind of jumps out is Jack Easterby, who's the character coach, and I know I was like, "What character coach?" He universally loved by the players and wielded a great deal of influence in that locker room, and I think a fair amount of influence with Bill himself. So that one is one that sort of jumps out at you and makes you scratch your head a little bit.
And part of that was the Kraft thing, right?
That's what was reported by the Boston Globe. So I'll trust that they did their job on that one. But that's, I talked to 7-8 players and it was all like, I can't believe he's gone. Those are huge shoes to fill. If they try to fill them, I don't know that anyone can be like Jack, because everybody said Jack had this unbelievable way about him and this energy that they fed off of.
And I have to think, Mike, that was everywhere. The talk of what's going to happen to Kraft, and I'm sure, from the people that you spoke with, was there any kind of consensus as to what kind of punishment he is facing? I mean, we also don't know how this is going to finish, but do you have any kind of idea of, I guess, the bracket, like the worst and best case scenario?
Yeah, I mean, to me, just in talking to people across the league, everybody just points to Irsay 6 games. And a $500,000 fine. And that was the first owner that's been penalized since, I believe, Eddie DeBartolo in San Francisco back in like 1999 or something. It just seems to make a fair amount of sense that's a pretty hard punishment. And I think everybody's sort of feeling like it'll be in line with what Irsay got.
You don't think it's going to be, because there was reports that came out that they are going to try to hit him even harder. Because of, and you heard about this even with the whole Deflategate thing, is that they want to show that one of the most powerful guys in the NFL isn't immune to getting any kind of punishment. So they're almost going to over-punish him just to make that statement.
I mean, I guess it wouldn't surprise me. I think sometimes the NFL's penalties, as we've seen, have been a little bit arbitrary. But it sort of has to play out too a little bit. I mean, he pled not guilty, which is standard in pretty much any case, to plead not guilty. But now where does it go from here? And I guess we'll have to wait and see what the law says before we decide what's right and what's wrong in terms of the NFL punishment.
I'll be honest, the fact that the video's not out yet has got to be good news for Robert Kraft. Because I would think this is something that would have been, I mean, if there were people who truly wanted to get paid on this, and there were so many people apparently who had seen it within the police department, wouldn't you think that the fact that it's been a week and a half and it hasn't seen the light of the day is probably a good sign for Robert Kraft?
I mean, they made the motion to suppress it, which, I think we all understand why they would do something like that. And I guess, as some people kicked around the idea, well, the Krafts have money too, so TMZ may want it. Somebody else may want it, but maybe you can pay more for it if that's what you're trying to do. And I'm not suggesting they are or not. I'm just saying, in previous cases, we've seen stuff like this where people reach out on behalf of the party that's in trouble and try to scoop up all the loose loose ends to it before someone else does.
That's funny. I've heard like three people speculate, not with any information, that that's what could very well happen, is you could just get a guy and go, how much
We've watched a lot of Law and Order and all that stuff. I mean, we've seen it all over the place.
That's right. All right. Mike Giardi from the NFL Network. Always appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. He makes a good point. Why is Wallach over there in Natick with the big two-car garage?
You move further out of the city, your options kind of expand. Mm-hmm. You know, you live closer to the city, the property kind of shrinks, and the prices go up.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't like that snowplow situation.
We're at 12 heads, by the way. Channel 7 has 12 heads in 12 blocks all around the city. And now we're talking 8:30, and you got 12 heads.
Yeah, when I stepped out the door, I'm like, oh, boy.
It's a 12-header.
We have a 12-header.
This is going to suck for a while. All right. When we come back, Antonio Brown has been speaking, and we'll have
and
that.
He shouldn't. Through. And he shouldn't.
No, as most wide receivers, when they open up their mouths, it's not the greatest thing in
the world. And the audio's great.
Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
I'm a little banged up, so I meet with Coach Tomlin. I'm telling him, like, hey, man, I'm a little banged up, so I'm gonna need a little time to get right. So he like, you banged up, man, just, you know, you could just go home.
Leave practice.
Yeah, like, you ain't even gotta be here. Yeah. So I'm like, damn, that's where we at.
Damn, how we get there?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just hit it.
I can't get
like,
no treatment.
It was like, you know what I mean? So what you think is like, I'm going to war for these guys, putting my life on the line. It's like, it's an unknown when it come to me, just like right now, the write-ups. It's like, you know what I mean? They control the narrative, so we ain't standing on people, you know what I mean? Good foundation, they could just paint you any kind of way in.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich.
That was Antonio Brown on that LeBron James show called, we're getting a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're all sitting around just getting a haircut.
Yeah, because LeBron James obviously just goes to the barbershop. He doesn't have someone traveling with him at all times.
It was like that commercial. Remember when LeBron went to Miami and there was a big backlash, so they had to construct some sort of positive PR commercial, and it was him like riding his bike all around and giving ice cream to underprivileged children who just were chasing him down the road like it was Rocky on bikes.
Yeah,
like, let's just follow LeBron everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, what else could he do for the community except give out ice cream?
Ice cream to the kids who are all chasing him. LeBron, we need
ice
cream.
Is that the one where he got the phone call? Hey, Uncle Drew, how are you? Is that the one?
He's like, you know, I always like to keep in touch with all the people who did so good to me the years. Yeah. And then he like poured his kids some cereal, and he's like, I'm a great dad. And he was like rubbed his head. Yeah, get over here, kid.
Yeah.
It was just like the ultimate, like, what are the five? At some point, I'm sure there was a puppy that he ended up playing with, and it licked his face.
Or no, he just gave birth to like a young kitten litter.
Right.
You gotta put your hands in there and really pull.
So that's that show. And of course, Antonio Brown's talking about when he showed up at the end of the season, and Tom was just like, yeah, you just go home. You know, you're banged up, so why don't you leave? Which is obviously a massive conflict of what we've heard being reported.
Right.
I mean, from everything we'd heard to that point, he was benched that final game. He benched because he didn't show up to practice. Isn't that what we all thought? He didn't show up for practice a couple days out of that week.
No, he disappeared for about 48 hours, and then Drew Rosenhaus called Mike Tomlin Sunday morning and said, hey, my guy's ready to go. And to give Tomlin credit, said, that's not how it
works.
Tomlin
said, nope.
I don't care if we have to win today to make the playoffs or not. Your guy's not playing.
So that seems to me to be a little bit of a conflict of what we had heard.
Right.
Which, of course, caused the cackling and the, I can't believe you just said that, Antonio Brown.
Now, who is doing the interviewing?
I don't think it's... Oh, you mean in that clip or the one we just played?
In the one we just played.
Oh, I think it's just guys talking.
Just guys
sitting around. And I don't remember who was in that episode other than LeBron James and Antonio Brown.
Apparently Anthony Davis was there as well.
Well, Anthony Davis is in one of them. This is a show, which is also very weird when it comes to tampering. I don't know if that's quite the... quite the best look.
Well, LeBron's whole like agency is going to end up, I was reading articles that it's going to just end up taking over the NBA. That his
LeBron's free agency?
No, LeBron's like group.
Group Maverick Carter. And all these guys.
There's a female in there, and that he's going to end up basically dictating what happens in the NBA.
I got to play something later on because, you know, as bad as things are going with the Celtics, it's not the Lakers. I mean, that is as bad. I mean, there's no reason that a team with LeBron James on it should be playing as bad as they are. And
When you're pissed, just like how the Celtics are pissed off Tommy Heinsohn, the Lakers the have.
He's got a bunch of spare parts with him.
I don't care. Dude, he went to the finals with a bunch of spare parts.
I know. It's a little different this year, though, man.
He's a couple years older, I'll give you that, but he's still the greatest player on the planet right now.
You know what? The great narrative, and I know we're going far afield. Just let me bring this up. A great narrative I looked at on social media within the last week. And see what happens? Lonzo Ball gets hurt. He doesn't play. What happened to the Lakers? What happened to the Lakers? In the toilet without Lonzo.
That's right. Who's going to guide the team? Who's right. going to be the vision?
All right, so back to this. Here is Antonio Brown. He sat down with Jeff Darlington. And so where are we now with this? I mean, I know he talked to the owner of the Steelers, and didn't they all but agree
the Steelers
to trade
said they don't
him?
Want him.
Yeah, right. So, and like Antonio Brown kept tweeting out all this stuff like, hey, thanks for your time. You know, thanks Steelers fans, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it almost seems like if you just read between the lines without any official statement that they have decided to move on from
him. The two sides met. It was a couple of weeks ago. He met with one of the owners and he took an Instagram photo of him standing next to the owner. Basically said, mutually, we've decided to go our separate ways.
But the owners have not said that.
No, but I don't know if they've said it publicly, but the reports are that the Steelers do not want him on the team.
Yeah, this is once again a read-between-the-line situation. Now, they might have thought that, but they also got to find out what they can get for this guy.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of a big sticking point. So, in the meanwhile, he's doing everything he can to just make sure that there's no possible way he can come back to that team because he's taking a flamethrower to everyone in that locker room and management.
And I can't wait until he goes to Oakland because they have three first-round picks.
It'll be the best.
And he goes to Oakland and he can deal with that whole situation.
Go to Oakland, deal with Gruden, and get on Hard Knocks. That's my dream.
The best part is they're asking Larry Fitzgerald, so what do you think about Antonio Brown?
No, and he's making a huge mistake.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, who hasn't had a real quarterback throw him a football in how many years?
Right.
I mean, a guy who's much more respected in the game than Brown
is. Here's Larry Fitzgerald talking about it. Actually, we should play the Antonio Brown stuff first. So once again, he won't stop talking. So Antonio Brown sat down with Jeff Darlington, who now is for the NFL Network? Yahoo?
Yes. Okay, I think he's NFL called. Network.
Either way, here he is. Here's Antonio Brown.
Come on, boy.
I'm a nice man.
All right, here we go.
I'm a nice man.
Darlington's ESPN now. He just left the NFL Network.
Hey, this isn't working. So, what are you doing here?
Well, thank God that we know now that he's with ESPN. All right, here we go. No. I cannot trigger this audience.
Thank you, Bob Fesco, and your pompous mountains. Here is, by the way, here's Larry Fitzgerald talking about what Antonio Brown is saying.
No, I love AB. He's Mr. Big Chess is a good friend of mine. But I don't think he's going about it the right way, personally. You know, to be able to play with an all-time quarterback like he's able to play with, I don't think he understands how good he has it. You know, it could get tough out there. It could get tough out there. Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Larry Fitzgerald taking a... Because, I mean, you never really hear him taking shots. That's kind of funny.
That kind of speaks to how bad Antonio Brown... For Larry Fitzgerald to come out on the record and criticize a guy like that, there is no bigger gentleman in the game than Larry Fitzgerald, who has more to complain about in, like, 5 months than Antonio Brown has had his entire career. Antonio Brown's had a Hall of Famer throwing him the football.
Yeah. He's like, what are you bitching about? Have you seen the garbage that's been thrown
at
me?
Honest to God, I've been suffering out here in the desert for 5 or 6 years, and you have a Hall of Famer throwing you a football.
I've always been confused about this. Antonio Brown is on record-setting paces, so he's getting the ball. Antonio Brown's on a team that is perennially at least has a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Loved. There's a massive fan base.
Same head coach, no turnover. Same quarterback.
Let you get away with murder in that locker room.
What do you want? They're giving you the ball. You have a chance to win. What do you want?
And hold video chats while your damn coach is talking to the team. I mean, and he didn't really get punished for that.
No.
No, he didn't get punished at all, I don't think. All right. Or it was behind the scenes.
Yeah. Didn't get embarrassed.
Let's try this again. Antonio Brown.
Zolak, stop piping in. All right, when we take a break, we'll get that all figured out, and we'll have it all ready to go.
This is not my fault.
Okay, shut up, Fesco.
This one is not my fault.
By the way, you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to, when we had Girardi on, to play him the clip of the where he screwed up on TV. Yeah. That's where the Zolak clip comes from. We forgot to play that for him.
Would he swear or something?
No. It was the bulging disc. He of course mispronounced that.
Oh God.
And that's what made Zolak, you know.
All right. We will be back. Hopefully, we'll have that audio for you.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I love AB. He's Mr. Big Chess is a good friend of mine. But I don't think he's going about it the right way, personally. You know, to be able to play with an all-time quarterback like he's able to play with, I don't think he understands how good he has it. You know, it could get tough out there. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Somewhere Josh Rosen quietly weeps.
Did you hear that the Cardinals are right now, there's a lot of fairly respected reporters saying that they're going to take Kyler Murray first.
Yeah, ingenious. Yeah. What a way to run an organization.
I don't get. So what are they going to do with Rosen? They're going to
trade him for hopefully a first round pick.
Oh, are you joking?
That was the hope. I think now it's a sell low. They bought high and are going to sell low. I think they'll wind up taking a lot less than that.
That was the plan.
Dan was telling me Volan was saying that they would trade it for number 32 to the Patriots.
Oh boy,
rumor.
And if I'm the Patriots, I'm not taking your garbage.
I don't think Rosen's that bad.
You think the Patriots will waste a first-round draft pick on Rosen?
Let me tell you why I think...
A number 32 pick?
Here's why Rosen is bad.
That's not a bad way to spend your number 32 pick.
Is that they drafted him, and then the next year they decided that they don't want him, that there's not a future there. So, I mean, and he was a relatively high first-round pick. There's been drafts where... the Heath Shuler draft where he went high and then... They got the guy who knocked himself out on the goalpost. He ended up starting for the Redskins. I mean, things like this have happened before, but sure. It never ends up being a good thing.
Well, I mean, all of the talk that, you know, was it Cliff Kingsbury? Because he was saying, yeah, you know, if we had Kyler Murray, I'm in love with this guy. I'd pick him if I was.
That's when he was a college coach, yes.
And now all of a sudden he's in this position, and if he does that, that would be hysterical.
Oh, yeah. And then Kyler Murray will play like one great season and he'll get hurt.
All right, so Antonio Brown, here he is. This is with Jeff Darlington. Here's what he had to say.
There's going to be general managers that want to know that that's not going to happen.
Bro, listen, I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
That sounds motivated.
You want the game now?
I want the game, but I don't need the game. It's a different. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to play for no one. Like, I'm happy. You see this? This paid off cash. I don't owe no one. Mm-hmm. I'm a millionaire, bro. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I don't have to prove no one anything. You know what I mean? Like, I never quit and miss a game ever. I checked my record. They know my background. But that's what the NFL is an organization. Organizations can create narratives and lower your value based on your position. But you can't lower my value. I'm Antonio Brown. I come from somewhere. I stand for something. I showed you.
Yourself.
You know what I mean? If someone don't believe that, perfect. Don't call me. Like, it's okay. Like,
right.
I'm perfectly fine walking away fully healthy or whatever. So if you ain't got the demands to meet the demands, make it move. I'm not just a young player searching for something to make a difference. I already made a difference. Mm-hmm. The Steelers probably gave me 5 contracts, including extensions, almost $100 million and change. I'm $30 million up cash. Like, what are you going to tell me? It don't matter. I don't even have to play. My dad was great. If I retire right now, I think I'm great.
How do we sign you, sir?
Please.
By the way,
take our money.
There's no way he doesn't have a boardroom with a picture of Scarface.
Fred, when he said I'm an entrepreneur, it's the first thing I thought of. It's like, I'm making deals. Yeah, look at this. I got Al Pacino behind me.
Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur.
See me, baby.
I'm a big entrepreneur, yes.
Let's talk business.
Everyone. Like, gentlemen, can we all get together here at the table? And I'm good at business. I'm good at business.
Yeah.
Meeting a jerk.
We have an inside tape of what it sounded like.
Let's talk bitches.
It's 150 for the bag. 150, bitch.
We're going to get them 250. We're going to get them 200.
I bring the 100, you bring it 100.
His 100 grand?
What?
Somebody 1,000.
100.
We gonna get y'all 200.
200?
The 200. 200 is 2 million.
Every time we flip it.
Okay, so that is from the Brandon Merriweather TV show. What was it called? Ghetto Celebs that he made?
Ghetto Celebs, of course.
Of course it was Ghetto Celebs.
There was a business deal, and by the end of it, my head blew up. I had no idea what the math was.
Patriots, please sign Antonio Brown. That relationship would last a practice. Like, please sign Antonio Brown. It would be fantastic. Because basically now, if you're an organization that is trying to build any kind of culture, you can't, a young organization that's trying to build any kind of culture, you can't sign.
Here's what you need. Hold on. Here's what you need. You need Antonio, you need John Gruden to say it. We'll send you a first-round pick, bring Antonio Brown there, and then you have Hard Knocks. Going to Oakland.
Okay.
Be perfect.
If you are the 49ers, because remember we had Jerry Rice on, and Jerry Rice obviously is still close with all the people who run the 49ers. I mean, very close to the organization. And he said that he'd been talking to some of the higher-ups about Antonio Brown. And remember, Antonio Brown had reached out to Jerry Rice for some advice. Like, if you're the 49ers and you have this young quarterback and a team that you're trying to build for the bottom, do you touch that guy with a 10-foot
ball? I was watching a Steelers game, and Brown had like one touch in the first half. And the announcers were glued to him to see when he was going to freak out. I mean, no. I mean, Garoppolo hasn't played in a lot of live football, you know, in regular season games. I mean, if I'm, you know, trying to check down and I'm trying to figure out what's going on and I'm trying to, you know, read defenses and I got some maniac jumping up and down that I'm not getting him the ball, That's all I need in my life.
You know what's a shame, too, is that everyone who's ever played with him and any coach that's ever covered him says that once he's on the team, like, the guy busts his ass. Like, he works his ass off, plays hard, and now it's like, what's happened? Like, what's happened to that guy? It's because he wants to be, like, the number one guy that everyone's talking about, but you're right. If you're the number one guy, it means your quarterback's not the number one guy.
Right.
And you want a number one quarterback, a guy who's a star, throwing you the ball.
And plus you have a guy in Roethlisberger that just stands there, gets hit, and just chucks the ball downfield.
Right.
I don't really understand. I've never been understand what his problem was.
But you made the best point of it. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, like what do you want?
What is your goal here?
Yeah, you have money. You have a team that's always a threat to, you know, make a Super Bowl. I mean, they're obviously not the favorites to make the Super Bowl, but it could happen. And then you have a gunslinger at quarterback. And you paid. I mean, it's not about money.
No,
I mean,
and if you would have stayed with the Steelers, you've gotten paid again.
Yes. I have no idea what's going through his head, all right? No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.